Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than Luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode was brought to you by the following patrons: Leaf Girl, Min, Sexcalibur Bones a Lot, Madeline, Edward, Alyssa, Vixen, Holly, Natasha, Laura, Boezy, Jeremy, Allie, Mr. Ragebomb, Logan, Libby, Wes, Aaron, Kristen, Amy, Tia, Jonathan, Isaac, and Karoon. And all the patrons want you to know you're loved and you're listened to and you're a valuable member of this awesome horror virgin community. And if you want to hang out with us, do so in the Facebook group where we've been hanging out in this farmhouse hoping the zombies don't attack us daily. Can I just say this? Kids are dumb. Like, this is their fault. Kids are dumb.
This is all their fault. They destroyed a whole country.
Continent, probably.
Does Hawkeye always play Hawkeye?
But no, this was cool, Jeremy Renner, when he did, what was that moment when he was the bomb tech?
The Hurt Locker.
Save it, Mikey. We're just trying to laugh to get into the episode.
Mikey's only been on 300-plus episodes, guys. He doesn't quite know the format.
Thank you for tuning into Horror Virgin. I'm Paige.
I'm Mikey.
And I'm your Horror Virgin, Todd, which means I don't like scary movies, but you guys make me watch them. And this week, you both made me watch
28 Weeks Later.
So when was the first time you guys saw this movie? Because it came out in 2007. You had plenty of time.
I saw it in 2007 when it came out in theaters.
Nice. Okay.
Last night. I had never seen one of these sequels. I'd seen the original because the original is like a fucking classic, but I had never seen a sequel.
We have done an episode on that, although, Paige, I think that's ripe for a revisit because you weren't on it.
I was not on it.
But I saw it for the first time today. I knew it existed, right, because we did the first one, but
sure,
I had never,
of course,
seen any of these movies. Are there more than just two, Paige? You said sequels.
No. I think this is the only sequel. They're going to make a new one.
28 months later, right?
Yeah.
That could be very cool, especially with the way this ends.
Oh, yeah. They ended this with a terrifying thought experiment.
Yeah, because, it's very scary. The movie is very scary, but it all takes place on the island of like England and Scotland, right? So like you figure the rest of the world is like sending aid, trying to help, but like is fine.
Yeah.
And then at the end you're like, no, the world is fucked.
Yeah, the world is fucked because I completely forgot there was a tunnel between those two land masses despite having ridden a train through it.
Despite having been in that tunnel, I forgot it existed.
Forgot it existed. And then at the end of the movie, I was just like, oh no, the tunnel.
Yeah.
It was like, oh no.
I do not like this sequel.
Really?
Really?
Okay.
And let me unpack it for you.
Mikey, can I take a guess?
Sure, you can guess.
I think you really like, and we touched on this last week, and I'm glad that my realization that I had probably 20 years after everybody else had it, of like slow zombies are like, here's what's going on in society. And it's very like telling that sort of story. And fast zombies are like what it would actually be like to live with a virus that kills you like this.
Yeah.
It's still zombies, but it's a different story altogether. And it's probably that you don't love about this movie, that it's mainly just the virus that's the issue.
No, I like these. If you're going to do fast zombies, I like this virus thing. Because like also Same. You don't have to shoot them in the head. You just shoot them and they
you
die.
You just shoot them or they starve.
Yeah. Because it is just like they're overcome with rage.
I think that's a good balance. That's a good balance there. They got nerfed a little bit. So like I think
they
did
get nerfed. Yeah. Danny Boyle nerfed the fast zombies a little bit, which I appreciated.
There are three main reasons I do not like this film.
All right.
Okay.
Can we do them in reverse order? So what's your least favorite part of this movie?
Okay. Why do you have no security in your quarantine medical facility, which probably should be the most secure facility yes. in your quarantine zone?
Yes, because that's where all your testing samples and shit are.
Yeah.
Yes.
And he just wanders in and makes out with his wife or whatever. Like, fuck yeah. That is the most because like everything, like they have gas and flamethrowers and bombs.
They do set up that he has AAA clearance.
Well, yes, but there's no one over watching her is a huge yeah. problem. I thought yeah, about yeah, that yeah. too, Mikey.
At the same time that the doctor's like, oh, she has it.
She has
it. And she didn't tell anybody on her fucking way out that she like
yeah.
on
or the like she has a radio. Why don't you grab your radio? Also,
yeah.
we learned that like Code Red protocol is take all the survivors to a place where they will easily get infected so we can just murder them all. Like the fact that they don't lock the door that like the zombies are on the other side of is insane to me. But they get in because he opens the door.
That particular section is my personal nightmare, but we'll go ahead.
Oh, no, yeah. It's so scary. The movie is super scary, but the military is super dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Number two. Why even go try to repopulate England?
Oh, yeah. You're not going to get me back into England ever in my life if I live
yeah,
through
not,
that.
Definitely not like 6 months later.
Yeah. Let's do a thought experiment where it's like, a virus turned all of Britain into zombies. They killed each other and starved to death. And the rest of the world watched it happen. And then NATO surrounded the island. And then it's like, we want to send people to live there now forever.
Oh, yeah. No, I would be like, we're keeping it empty for a decade.
Yeah.
There'll be a memorial there. And then maybe yeah. we go back.
Yeah, I would not have been surprised if they nuked every square inch of it.
Yeah, it should have been like Jurassic Park, yeah. where it's like, we never go back to Isla Nublar.
And then they just have the army, like NATO, making sure
constantly
no one ever gets
circulating.
There.
Yeah, yeah they yeah, just yeah, like yeah. literally pile the Navy in the channel between France uh-huh. and England and like shoot anything that gets close to the beach.
Yeah.
A logical sequel would have been people like Jurassic Park sneaking in there to like steal research. Or
like scavengers yeah, yeah. or whatever. Yeah,
thrill
yeah.
seekers. And they get it yeah. and then they bring it out or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
That's number two. This is the order of, you know, this is the reverse order you said.
I did yes. say reverse orders, which means we are now at number one. Dun, 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 dun,
dun. Oh, crap. I forgot one. I have four. So
number 1.5.
It's in this order. The dad zombie following them the whole movie is the dumbest fucking thing in the world.
That is a huge complaint that I have as well, because he has no cognitive ability to do that. And it's definitely a beat that would be in a horror movie with a calculating and conscious villain that he would follow them. And I know why the screenwriter did it in this movie, because they're trying to bookend it and trying to be like, dad is the real scary thing for them because they're having to actively kill their own parents. But it logically does not make sense in the story. Yes.
I loved it, though. I agree with you, but I loved it.
I would have gave you that one moment, maybe at the beginning. You could have wrote it where it happened.
Sure.
But for him to pop up like Michael Myers throughout the film is so stupid.
Yeah, it's bonkers.
That it makes the rest of the movie work. I almost forgot that one. So number one.
Now, finally, number one.
Because it's a sequel to 28 Days Later.
Yes.
Which is a character-driven zombie movie. You
yes.
basically love and are rooting for Killian and the other woman, the two protagonists,
to get through it.
Yes.
The dad and the kids suck so bad. And
I know,
like,
I was rooting for Rose Byrne and Jeremy Renner yeah. basically the whole
and
time.
Like,
yeah.
And they're throwaway characters. And like, I'm like, I can't empathize with these people because they're making stupid decisions.
They make the worst decisions. Yes.
They're not good people.
Oh yeah. The dad is a full on villain.
And like,
villain.
Killian started like that where he was scared of everything. And then by the end, he became the monster to fight the
sure.
monsters or whatever.
Yeah.
And that was such a great, like, character arc.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head with the it's a great character driven movie. I think you're absolutely
yeah.
right. And I disagree about this. Like, I don't think this is a great character driven movie.
No, it's not.
This is very like mid 2000s, like 2007. There are like My Bloody Valentine. There are like a bunch of other movies
yeah.
that are like just scare factories that lack, I think, a lot of character development.
So really, once you take all that out, it's just a gore fest. Or like, isn't it cool that they quarantine and are shooting all these people? And like that is cool, but there's a reason I just haven't watched this film much, and those are the four main reasons.
I don't disagree with any of them.
I don't necessarily disagree with any of them either, but I sort of like what this movie is saying, so I dug the dad is the villain, more or less. Like, he is the stand-in, which I think there's a lot between him and his son about, like, are you going to pass down this rage that your dad has, or are you immune like your mother? Like, there are some things playing out on screen that I agree. Like, that zombie would have been dead and if he wasn't, wouldn't care that those are his kids.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
But, like, I also like that it's in the movie. I also really like that the military does what I think the military would do when it's uncontrollable and starts just shooting everybody.
And I don't disagree with it.
Paige, I understand
complicated feelings
both
about
sides
it.
of that. Absolutely. Because I understand why Idris Elba orders the code red.
Yeah.
I also completely get why Jeremy Renner's like, no, fuck this. I'm not shooting a child.
Yeah.
I'm no longer a soldier here. And just like, nope's out. So like,
yes, yeah, it is collapsed. It's time to go.
Yeah, so I really like what that is like saying about, should you follow orders that are not like, that are moralistically questionable.
Sure.
And I definitely understand why some do. And I definitely understand why some don't. You know?
Except if he would have shot that fucking kid, France would be alive.
Well, no, maybe not, because that kid doesn't necessarily let people out of France, because this after.
No.
Oh, do you mean shoot when he goes out into the city?
Yeah.
Yeah, when Jeremy Renner got him in his sights, he could have stopped the whole thing because he wouldn't have got on the helicopter. They wouldn't have landed in France.
Yeah, Mercutio wouldn't have taken him across the channel. Exactly. Which we don't actually know that he caused that infection.
Yeah.
But it's safe to assume that, extrapolating from what happened with his mom and his dad.
Yes, Paige. That's
no,
what
no,
it's...
No, it could be, but I think they just finally found their way into the tunnel.
Yeah, they absolutely
they
could,
didn't
Paige.
Kill all of them.
I think they collapsed the tunnel 100%.
Well, no, we see them running out of the tunnel at the end, Mikey. If they did collapse the tunnel or barricade it, they got through. Which I definitely think they would have barricaded the tunnel, but I think they got through.
Yeah.
We need to look it up, because I thought it was just like a subway in France or like a tunnel in France. I don't think it was the tunnel, because it came out at the Eiffel Tower.
I mean, it not exactly, but like it comes out pretty close.
I thought with them going to the helicopter and the kid drawing something and then being in France and everybody being sick, I'm like, that fucking kid got everybody sick with his like zombie measles or whatever.
He just decided to kiss his crush and then she became a zombie and then turned French to zombies.
It all started because his mom was anti-vax.
I did think for a second, I was like, oh my God, does she have long zombie? Is that what she has when she didn't die from it immediately?
So it is an interesting thought. I mean, that I don't think the movie's trying to say this, but it is interesting to talk about. Like, if he would have stayed on that roof and followed his orders and shot that kid, then the world would have been safe, and that's why they were given those orders.
I think the world may have been safe. I don't think that is the only thing to make the world safe. They also have to, like, make sure no one then crosses the channel into France. Or gets on, like, a pleasure boat and crosses over and then gets infected and comes back. Like, that whole thing, right? Because the channel is not super long.
Yeah.
Like, you could take a small yacht across it.
I also feel like somebody would have shot that helicopter down once it didn't answer commands.
You mean someone in France?
No, I mean like NATO.
Oh, well, yeah, NATO. Yeah, yeah,
I mean, if they're having fighter squadrons bomb, I mean, like, they were obviously on high alert.
I mean, I honestly think all NATO pulled out and then they were just bombing the island at the end, you know?
Oh, but they would have been monitoring radars and stuff, because if it's an outbreak, yeah, they would have shot that helicopter down.
Oh, no, I know. I think they would have been at Normandy shooting rockets at them.
Because that's what I thought. I thought that they just shot the helicopter down, and online, most people are saying it's the channel. That's how they got through.
Yeah, I mean, I've never been there, so I don't know what it looks like, and it may very well be. That's what I thought, too.
Yeah.
But, like, who knows? I mean, we don't see it on screen. Well, sorry, and when I say we don't see it on screen, I mean the helicopter being shot down. It's just not seen once they fly out off England's soil.
That's on France. France should have bombed the shit out of the channel once the zombie outbreak started happening
in
Britain.
I agree. You flood the channel. You flood that shit.
Yeah.
What are we doing, France? Of course it'd be France.
But we also show they can swim.
Oh, shit. It does show that, because when he's fighting him in the water, there are some swimming there, which is why I think you got to get NATO to, like, put the Navy in the channel there and just shoot anything that comes towards the water.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, no, I just did a mini Google deep dive, and it appears that there are debates on both sides, but most people believe it was the channel and that the military shot that helicopter down, and they may not have even made it across the channel completely.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know. We don't see it.
We don't know where it landed.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully these questions will be discussed and shown, or will be like visited in the 28 months later or whatever.
Yeah. I think for me, this month has unintentionally become a scare page month where I was like, wow, these fears are much more my jam than I had previously discussed. Should I talk to a therapist about this? Because this movie, like, I have reoccurring nightmares about the apocalypse, have for years, but the idea of being trapped in a room and then either being infected or just gunned down in that room, huge fear of mine. Running as they gun people down, huge fear of mine. But at the same time, I'm also like, yeah, because if you don't, everyone dies. And so, like, for the sake of the everyone, the 7 billion people or whatever on Earth, you gotta firebomb that shit. You gotta nuke it from orbit to be sure. Like, I fully understand. I don't even think they made the wrong choice. It's just a horrifying scenario to contemplate.
That's why no leader would be like, you know what we should do? Put 15,000 civilians back in London.
I mean, that I feel like they might, but longer down the road, maybe. Like, not this soon. This seemed soon.
Oh, it wouldn't be. Yeah. I mean, I realize that they don't completely evacuate the island because their dad is still on the island, right? He's in that quarantine zone, but like he doesn't leave the island, right?
I get that, though, because here's the thing. You will have people who survive, right? And who would end up in quarantine. But no one else is going to let those people set foot in their country.
No. And Paige, I agree.
Like, knowing that they have been exposed and around. So, like, there would be people there.
Truly, they should have evacuated everyone off the island. And, you know, there's a point where they're evacuating people that's very secure. You know, there's like a little base there on the coast or whatever.
Sure.
And then if you can make it there, cool. You know, we'll evacuate you. You know, we'll test you and then evacuate you. But they shouldn't be bringing people back on the islands 28 weeks after the world fell apart, or at least for that island.
I just thought of a great sequel. Hear me out.
Okay.
They evacuate people onto boats.
Waterworld.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Waterworld all day. I love it.
Waterworld 28 days later. So they evacuate people from the island onto boats because no country will take them because they are potentially infected, no matter how much you assure people they're not.
They might have long zombie. We don't know.
You don't know.
Like the mom did.
Yeah. You have no idea. And then we have an outbreak on a boat. Where are you going to fucking go? You're in the middle of the fucking ocean.
Like a
how do you survive
ship.
That out? Oh, yes.
It's like Deep Rising, but not as good.
I mean, or better.
Because Deep Rising is a perfect film, Paige.
True.
You can't.
It is truly a perfect film.
There's a Kraken in Deep Rising.
28 days later on a cruise ship is fucking terrifying.
Yeah. It's way better than Speed 2. Come on now.
Oh, but yeah. So I would say, because this is going to rank kind of high for me. This really scared me. Very tense.
Same. There's a lot of jump scares that really got me in this. Like, but I do think for the time, it is a great of the era scary horror movie. I agree with Mikey. I like the societal zombie movies more than the fast zombie movies.
Sure.
Because I'm just more interested in that kind of stuff, I guess.
Yeah.
But I also do really want to know what happens in this story. Like, I'm invested in it, you know?
I will say, though, these particular zombies, rage zombies, scare the shit out of me.
They're also more likely to happen.
Sure.
I think it's cool they starve.
Yes.
Like there is a way to survive this apocalypse.
There is.
Even if the whole world outbreaks, if you can hide for like
survive.
A month. Yeah.
But they scare me because they appear visually in this movie as unpredictable, violent humans.
Yes.
Which is a core fear.
Oh, just like a normal person. Got it.
Yeah.
Paige, I bet when the wife who is infected, I realize, but still has her cognitive facilities, like she is a regular person more or less.
Yeah.
When she is strapped down and he loses his shit.
Yeah.
And like gets infected and then like she is fucked. Like
that was super
that
scary.
That is the
yes.
scariest part of the movie for me. And it's also the grossest because of what he does to her. It's fucking terrible to watch. But like, that is so scary to me.
Yeah, STDs are really bad.
Real bad.
That's not the scary part of what happens, Mikey. Some penicillin, he'll be fine, Mikey.
For me, it's the containment because I have a pervasive fear that one day, if something like this were to happen, that we would be contained and then just murdered like the crazies. It's one of the reasons that I find the crazies super scary, because the government would absolutely fucking do that. They would absolutely kill us just for being around.
And I don't know if they're wrong, because like if I'm here and I'd be like, we had to nuke LA. Like, wait, sorry.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. No, I fully understand. But in the crazies, it's fucking terrifying. That's a scary ass movie.
What you guys just said right there is what I think the point of the movie is, sort of like,
yes,
if you are like an underserved class, the people who have those services are not gonna help you necessarily.
The people in the control center will just firebomb you because you are expendable.
Oh, but I don't even think it's a class issue. Like, I think Burbank's getting it. Yeah. I mean, it don't matter what, like, I think class is a, yes, you have privilege and protection, but I think when shit hits the fan like that, the government will fuck all of us equally.
Oh, yeah. At least the middle class, for sure. Yeah. They're going to make sure like Zuckerberg and Musk are okay, though.
I don't think so.
I mean, they're going to take care of themselves, honestly. They're going to launch themselves into space and die of hubris. Thank God.
Die in space.
Zuckerberg will go to his bunker in Hawaii, so he will die during the class riots of 2028.
I mean, yeah, potentially. But here's what I think. And this movie doesn't really touch class as much as it could, because you absolutely could.
Most zombie films do.
Yeah, you absolutely could, because then the question is, who gets to go back and why, right? Because I feel like that would be, like, who's going back first and why? Like, why are these the people?
I think it would be like a far and away situation where it's like a land rush.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, but that's like 300 years in the future. You know what I'm saying? Like,
well, but that's the thing. I feel like if you want to make this a class issue movie, that's what it is. But it's a company selling that land to poor people, and they haven't cleared it completely. But I think this is much more about militarization of authority.
Oh yeah.
And
then blindly following orders or walking away when that is against your moral constitution or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
Even though that kid needs to die because he was a threat to my kids.
I mean, Mikey, like, he is infected. I don't think you should kill him because, and this sounds terrible, we need to study him and find out why 100%. He's immune. Like,
this is like when Mikey went like 2 years without getting COVID during the apocalypse, even though he was exposed like every day and never caught it. And I suggested that we take your blood for the good of humanity.
Yes. Yeah.
And then I caught it the worst, like 2 weeks, like this year. I was like, ugh. Yeah. Ugh. I think this movie would have worked better for me if the people didn't come in from the outside. What if it was 15,000 survivors? Like, they're just going across the country, finding survivors. They're keeping them there.
Right.
And then, like, this family is reunited. The mom and dad got separated with the kids.
Yes.
The dad made bad choices. You still have the family dynamic stuff, but you don't have, like...
Yes.
Because to me, the problem is, like, you should have just nuked the whole thing. Like, you should have just killed everyone immediately.
You should have nuked them from orbit, is what you're saying, Mikey.
Yeah.
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 Never let those people in. And then, like, if they don't understand it, I just... Mm.
I mean, I definitely, because I don't live in Britain and this didn't happen, you know, here, I understand why you'd feel that way. I also understand, like, I think they sort of play it out on a macro, like a micro and a macro level in this movie, because I think it's similar to the choice that the dad doesn't make, but the mom makes for the child that comes in right before they get attacked. She goes to save the child.
Right.
And he goes to save himself. And like, I feel like that's similar to the choice that the world would be making about the island.
That child is the reason all those people die. Yes.
No, it absolutely is, for sure.
So this film is like a pro-choice kind of film, because all the children kill everyone.
All the children kill everyone. I also feel like there's an element of, because it is the American army that is controlling.
It's technically NATO, but yeah, you're right. I mean.
No, they specifically go out of their way to say it is the U.S. Army.
Yeah.
In this movie, which is definitely a case of us being world police when we really shouldn't. But you know how we love to do that. And so I thought that was kind of interesting too.
Yeah. So technically all U.S. soldiers are NATO soldiers.
Yeah.
So like that, It's just part of the agreement we have with NATO. But like, that's also why we are the world's policemen, more or less, because NATO will be like, we got to do this thing. And it's really the Americans showing up that do it, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, there are other NATO like countries that participate in that, but it's mainly
sure, sure,
U.S.
Sure, sure,
yeah.
Sure, sure. Yeah.
King George did this to them.
King George did this to them.
Two things I want to point out that I low-key loved in this movie is when Andy, the 12-year-old child, is hearing Jeremy Renner and that, like, the other guy who eventually dies on the helicopter. Like, and Jeremy's like, go run so I can see where he's shooting from.
Yeah.
Like, serpentine, don't stand in one place. You know, he's like,
yeah.
And then Andy's like, fuck this, I got it. And he, like, Captain Spears out and weaves.
Yeah, and he's, like, the most valuable one.
I know, but he doesn't know that, you know. But
or
like,
the least valuable if you study him or he unleashes a virus on the whole world.
Or, yeah, I mean, honestly, had that guy shot and killed him, the France would be fine.
Again?
I mean,
again, yes.
Yeah, I mean, I think they get through the channel, too. But, like, I understand what you're saying, Mikey.
But if they shot and killed him when he first went out into the city, then everyone would be fine because the mom wouldn't have come back.
Oh, for sure. But that was Jeremy Renner's dereliction of duty that caused this like event.
Yeah.
But I also do. I feel like that's the decision I would make and that the mom sort of made with the child in the closet and why they're all dead.
Yeah.
I think that movie is sort of saying that to us. The bad people who think only of themselves live the longest.
Yeah.
Because they have the strongest self-preservation.
But what does that make you as a person? Like that, but that's the question of like,
yeah,
every societal zombie movie of like, look, you can be selfish, you can hoard resources. It might make you live the longest. Like the Raiders in Dawn of the Dead.
Yeah.
The question is, are you okay sitting with yourself internally as that person? Are you okay being that person? I think a lot of people are not, and that's why they die, unfortunately.
Yeah, I agree. And so for me, I think what would have made that like really drive that point home, and I think I would have liked, is if we see the dad established as like the maintenance guy for this facility, mm-hmm. He's the in for the facility. We then transfer like main charactership to Rose Byrne.
Yeah.
And he becomes sort of a side character we see occasionally. And then eventually he takes his own life because he can't live with what he did to his wife.
I was surprised that did not happen.
Right. So
honestly.
Like, I'm not saying you should do that.
But that's why I was like, he's a villain.
Yeah.
But you shouldn't do that.
I'm not saying you should do that. But when he's lying to his kids about what happened to his wife,
yeah.
I am feeling that. Like, he is such a good actor in that moment because he is making me feel sad for him and for his family while he's lying to his children.
I mean, would you have left her behind? 100%.
Oh God, I don't. This is a tricky question because at a certain point, yes. If you thought there was no hope, if you thought she was going to die, but that's not what he does. He uses her as fucking bait. Like,
I don't think he uses her as bait. She goes across the room, and I guess he does because he closes the door on her.
He closes
the
door on her.
He makes it so she can't leave that way.
Well, those three zombies come in, and you either die or leave. And like those were the choices. And I don't still think anybody's right or anybody's wrong here.
No, no. I think he makes a definitive choice of closing that door because she could have run and potentially made it.
She could have run over the bed.
Yeah, and he doesn't give her the chance.
Right.
He closes that door, and she turns as she hears it close. He left her as bait.
Which is dumb because we already know there's a Chicken McNugget in the closet.
Right.
Like, just leave the kid, get your wife out. Like, I probably would, if that was Natalie, I probably would have gone and, like, kicked because I'm not going to get my arms and face close to a zombie, but I would have kicked that zombie midsection to give her some time to come out.
Something,
but if
yeah.
we both die, if Natalie's dying, it's fine. Like, I'll do my best to help, but, like, if you get me too, that's fine.
We don't have a ton of context of what kind of relationship they had.
Oh,
my God.
Here's my thing. I would not have
Mikey's
wanted...
Mikey's defense for him is like, yeah, but what if she was, like, a bitch, though?
What if she was awful? I would not have changed the story for him to kill himself out of guilt. Rather, I would have wanted to see him turn more evil in a way that he is choosing, right? Because, like, at a certain point, he's a zombie and he's terrifying, but he's not choosing that. He's a zombie. Like, it's a foregone conclusion. I would have wanted to see him try to kill his wife so she couldn't tell people that he left her.
Well, okay.
That's what I thought was going to happen.
Guys, when he walked in. Okay, so right. Maybe we should just. Whatever.
Yeah, let's just get into the
movie. Yeah, because I really do want to talk about that page. But anyway, let's just get.
Yes.
Maybe we should just go through it scene by scene because, like, There's a lot to break down in this pretty quick movie.
An amazing cold open, too. We open on a safe house, if you want to call it that, where there's a family, a group of people trying to make the best of what they have, eating pasta based on their last can of tomato sauce. They have lost one of their members, Sam, who left to, I assume, go get provisions and has not come back. And they are now kind of assuming that he is dead. In the conversations in this group, we also find out that two of them, a husband and wife, have children that they sent away on a trip prior to the infection, meaning the infection is probably not spread outside the island and their children are probably safe because they were not there.
Yeah.
So this is all the groundwork we get. Now, during dinner, they hear a knock on the door and they get up assuming maybe it is the guy that went out 5 days ago.
Well, one of them is pretty sure it's not that. I honestly don't remember any of their names because almost all of them die immediately.
They all die instantly. Yeah.
The guy who he runs into at the boat is like, yo, lady, I know you love him, but he is dead. There's no way he's not dead. Please live in the reality that we need you to live in to stay safe. Like, and I think he could have been more tactful, but I get it.
No, but he's absolutely right, though. He is absolutely right.
Yeah, he's not saying anything that's incorrect. He's just not very kind about it. He's like, but also, like, it's very fucking stressful. Like, I understand why he lost his cool.
Well, and this is going to sound terrible. This is not the time to be kind about it.
I get it. Yeah, no, I mean, I completely understand.
Yeah.
I also understand, like, really hoping your loved one is not fucking dead. You know, like, it's just such a hard situation.
I do, but around day three, I would have been like, he is dead.
Oh, yeah. I would like, I would fully be in the grieving process by day three, yes.
Yeah. But the knocking gets more frantic and they hear the voice of a small child. It's a young boy who's like, please let me in, let me in, let me in. And the husband and wife whose kids are missing. And again, this boy is about the same age as their son. So I think that's part of why she does this. But she lets him in and lets him eat. And he's like, they were chasing me. And they're like, who? My mom and dad.
Yeah.
And I tried other houses, but they were empty. And as they're having this conversation, the girl whose boyfriend is out is looking out the slats. And she says, Sam. And there's an infected right outside who hears her. And he just breaks through the barrier. Just full force.
Yeah. I don't necessarily think the kid is the one who causes what happens here. I think this is probably always going to happen. Sam is the guy that she was looking for.
Yes.
So I wonder if he, in his mind somewhere, remembered that place and was going there.
We don't even know if it's Sam. I think they just followed the boy.
Oh, that's fair. She does say Sam, but it is more like, oh my God, is that you? It's not, oh my God, it's Sam.
Right.
So you're right. It may not actually be him.
Then she sticks her arm through a... She's like, Sam?
Which is so dumb, right?
Yeah. Oh, no. He like he reaches through and snatches her arm.
Yeah.
Which means their barricade was going to fail.
Yes.
Eventually.
Yeah.
But I do think the kid led them there. I think that kid had been running and loud and they followed the noise.
He was banging on that door really loud. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that they would have died either way once that happened.
Yes. Now, they scatter through the house because immediately all the barricades are failing. And literally within 30 seconds, everyone is dead except for that child and the husband and wife. And she's trying to drag the child with them because I think in her mind, she's like, this is someone else's baby. Like, this is someone else's son. If it was my son, I couldn't bear to leave this kid behind. Like, I understand why she does what she does. I also understand that it gets her killed. But she is basically trying to get the kid to come with her. He's too scared. Her husband is like trying to get her to leave the kid and come across the room, which is, I think, for her, a morality line she can't cross.
Yeah.
And once he realizes she's not going to come across the room in a fast enough time frame for them both to escape, or rather, I think he sees a window where he can escape. He shuts the door on them, leaving her in the room with the infected, and he takes off.
I truly would feel differently about it if he didn't close the door.
Yes, because he closes that door.
Yes, I didn't think about that until you said he uses them as bait, and I fully agree he does because he closes the door.
Yeah.
Right, because that's an extra step for her to get
out. He's not a good dude.
If he had just run and didn't close the door, then he's just running. But he closes the door, which means he slows them down with her as bait.
Yeah.
Also, they've been held up in this house for God knows how long, and they haven't improvised any weapons at all throughout the house.
They were grossly unprepared. Like, they should have had Even like if it's like wood logs that you'd use in a fire type thing, like they would have had those at the ready stationed throughout the house.
These are just people. Like you could stab them to death.
Oh,
like,
yeah, you're right.
So, and remember, this is within the first 30 days because this is before the title card.
That's
so
right.
This is not when they have stabbed to death.
That's right.
So they have been there not crazy long, but we have to assume they've been there a week or so at least.
Yeah.
But I mean, in a zombie apocalypse, I'm going to have a weapon of some kind on me at all times.
Yes. Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Are hidden in every room and be like, let's make a plan in case people attack. Like,
well, I think they had a plan. This was their plan because Jacob escapes through the barn, who's the other guy. Then this dad escapes through the house and watches as she is snatched out of the window, dying, and they make a run for the boat. The boat is their plan. He tries to get the boat started and accidentally knocks Jacob into the water where the infected swim and eat him. And this one guy escapes in the boat at the price of six other people, essentially.
Yeah, Richard Carlyle gets away.
Yeah.
That's the actor's name. I don't remember his name in the movie, but he really just like, I get that he's like in survival mode. He's running purely on instinct. And that's why I was like, okay, I don't think I would have done that in that situation. I've never been in a situation like that. So maybe who knows what I'd do, you know? But like, I don't know if I'd be able to live with the guilt that would come along with what I just did. You know what I'm saying?
Well, and I guess it's different because he knows he has kids on the outside.
Right.
And
maybe so that's what I was like, someone has to stay alive for the kids, but that doesn't mean you have to use your wife as bait. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right. That's the thing.
That's
the
thing that's like the unredeemable part of it to me.
I would have waited in the door until the zombie attacked her.
Same.
And then I've been like,
yep. Too late.
Then I was like, I guess I gotta shut the door.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he also doesn't know that she's immune. And here's the thing. She doesn't either. So if she had gotten bit and then he closed the door, I don't think she would have been that mad. I think she would have been like, hey.
That fully changes it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he knows he fucked up because there's a reason when they tell him we found your kids and your wife. His face shifts from like, oh yeah, you found my kids too.
Yeah.
Ruh-roh.
Oh no. Yeah. Yes. But it's at this point he's escaping. Then we get the title card. So 15 days later, mainland Britain is quarantined. 28 days later, it is basically destroyed. Like no one's gotten out, but everything inside is destroyed. 5 weeks later, all the infected have died of starvation. 11 weeks later, the Americans enter London. 18, which means that we just came in and shot people, by the way. The title card doesn't explicitly say that, but that's definitely what happened.
And those were just the American tourists that showed up.
I know. 18 weeks later, the island is declared free of infection. 24 weeks later, reconstruction begins. You are absolutely right. That's way too fast.
Yeah.
And this says 28 weeks later. So this is 4 weeks into the reconstruction. We meet our band of snipers. We have Hawkeye. Other Hawkeye, another Hawkeye.
Really, the only people that matter are Jeremy Renner, who I think we should absolutely call Hawkeye in this movie.
Sure.
His other sniper buddy and Mercutio, who was a helicopter pilot.
Harold Perrineau.
There are a bunch of other soldiers, but none of them matter, really.
None of them matter, really. And I would like to note that I feel like Harold Perrineau has been on more movies across our two podcasts in the last few months than anyone else has been on an amount of movies on our podcast.
I'm going to be honest with you. I have enjoyed seeing him on screen every time I've seen him.
Of course.
I didn't realize I was a Harold Perrineau fan until these past, like I always knew like, oh, the guy who played Mercutio was awesome.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that everything he's been in, he's been awesome.
He's awesome.
How is he not like as famous as Denzel? Like that he is so good.
I feel like he's not as famous as Denzel, but he is as castable where I feel like
for
people
sure.
have seen him in enough stuff that like I bet that dude just fucking works like crazy, which is almost as good as being Denzel, because Denzel only works once or twice a year, whereas Harold Perrineau is probably working more than that, believe it or not.
Yeah, who knows? I mean, IMDb, but I'm not gonna look it up.
Anyway, I do like that this movie switches between like security cameras and sniper scopes, so we're like seeing different vantage points. I think that's really cool.
It is really cool. And we're seeing what the snipers are doing here. And what they're doing is like, I do think there's a rule. You can't close your blinds because they want to be able to see in and make sure you're not infected.
Yeah.
And if they are, they pop that window and your brain with a bullet. Like that's what they're there for.
But that's not what we're seeing right here.
No, that's a little bit later.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think that's what the snipers are doing. I don't think the snipers are protecting zombies from getting in.
No. Yeah. They're the safety valve, essentially.
Yes.
But what we're seeing in this scene is them doing their like round robin of like, you check, you check you, checkpoint around to make sure everyone is still there. Because when everything breaks off, they try to do that again. And we see that the sniper ecosystem has broken down irreparably.
Yes.
So we see a plane land at the airport and a truck starts to transfer passengers. But from the terminal, Rose Byrne is watching and she's like, I didn't know we were taking kids yet. And honestly, they should not have been this soon. Ridiculous.
It is crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's ridiculous. I think they're settling anyway.
Yeah,
of course. Anyway, they are the kids from before. They're that family's children that were on that school trip. They go through the quarantine, which is how we find out that the younger boy has heterochromia. He's got one green eye, one brown eye. And Rose Byrne is like, oh, that's usually a genetic trait. Did one of your parents have it? And he says, well, my mom did.
Yeah.
But I would say that this movie posits that that heterochromia is potentially the marker for the gene.
It is.
That allows you to survive the infection.
Yeah. Which means I'm going to one of my high school friend's house because he's the only guy I know who has that.
Or he might accidentally spit on you and infect you because he's still a carrier.
Yeah.
They're carriers. They just don't have the symptoms themselves.
Okay. So avoid him is what you're saying.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do what I've been doing since high school and avoid him.
There you go. But at 12, this kid is the youngest person in the entire country.
Yeah.
Which does not bode well.
I mean, his sister is probably the second youngest because she's like, what, 15, 16? She's not that much older.
Something like that. Yeah. But they pass bags of quarantine refuse in the streets. They're burning piles of bodies, which definitely gave me weird COVID flashbacks of the freezer trucks.
The freezer. Yeah, man. That was.
Yeah.
It was a wild time. It was a wild time, guys.
It's wild watching these movies now and be like, this is how it goes, because we saw some of this to a lesser degree. And maybe that's why these movies are freaking me out more.
Yeah.
Because I'm just like, the freezer trucks. Anyway, they're headed for Green Zone, District 1. They also say that they are on the Isle of Dogs, which is one of the isles off the coast.
Which is smart.
Yeah.
I mean, we do see them swim. I don't know that they can swim a long distance. So like maybe you just got to protect the coastline more or less and you're fine.
Right.
It's a good idea.
But we also find out that there's 15,000 civilians on the island, or at least in Green Zone District 1.
Yeah.
And you know, that's the closest district to the capital. So they're kind of douches. Yeah, anyway. Yeah, yeah.
They're pretty rich. Maybe this is a classism movie. they do say that they're like, the district, the quarantine district is safe. London is not. So be advised. Don't leave the security zone. They get there. They meet their dad, who is like, hey, I never thought I'd see you again, but we've got this cool apartment. And they do ask, they're like, hey, what happened to mom? And he's like, I will tell you. Meanwhile, Rose Byrne is like, hey, I didn't know that we were letting kids in yet. We don't even have protocol for minors. This is fucking not good. And Idris Elba is like, we haven't found an infected person in 2 months. So everyone else died 6 months ago. And she's like, we weren't here 6 months ago. We don't know that for sure.
And also like, okay, so we haven't seen an infected person for 2 months. It's a big place, guys. Maybe we should give it a beat before we move 15,000 people. I mean, whatever.
That's why it makes more sense that there's like 15,000 survivors on Britain. Like this time frame makes more sense of like, we're studying the virus. We're having the people live here and kind of restart a life, but it's under NATO control. They don't really have rights because this is a super deadly virus. We're trying to study it.
Or it's like they are the survivors. There's a survivor section, right? But the only people they're bringing in are like people who can work on the virus. So you like medical professionals, doctors. Soldiers, doctors. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Bombs.
Right. But no, they bring in children.
Yeah, it would be such an easier writing choice. I just don't understand why they didn't do it like that. I don't know.
I definitely understand the island part of it, though. Like, that part made a lot of sense to me.
Well, yeah, which we do see them cross London Bridge to get back to their house later, but...
Which this movie has a lot of really cool, like, what would now be drone shots, but I'm sure were helicopter shots back in the day, of, like, a desolate London.
Yeah.
Which is very cool. They did it in the first one, too.
I was going to say that was the like really freaky thing they did in the first one. So I'm glad that they kind of kept it through this one.
Yeah.
But we cut back to the kids and their dad and they're like, the refugee camps were terrible. So we know that they were in a camp for a few months. But this is where he's like, hey, I'm so sorry about what happened to mom. We were hiding in a house with a bunch of people and the infected broke in and she just didn't make it. I tried to go back, but she was already gone. And he's very vague about it. But he's like, there was nothing I could do. I managed to get away and I got to this quarantine camp And now I've been waiting for you guys to come back. I'm just happy you're alive.
Yeah. We sort of set this up earlier, but while he's getting there, like, they take like a tour guide to District 1, which I thought was really weird that they brought over someone whose job was tour guide.
That doesn't surprise me, but like, is it BioShock that has that too? But it's like a computer one?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Computer one makes more sense to me.
I love those games.
But anytime you have to like repatriate a bunch of people, there's definitely going to be tour guides, like 100%.
I know. It just,
and they're going to be like the census workers of the new land, where it's like the job that anyone could get but no one wants.
Hell yeah.
You know?
But it's 2 months at whatever. It's crazy that they do this. But
yes.
Anyway, that's not what I was getting to. When he is talking to them, though, like he gets there, he shows them that they're, that he can get in any room, which comes back later. Yeah. Like that's done there. But when he's talking to them about their mom, like he is very sad.
Yeah.
But he is lying to them. Like he does say he goes back and checked on her and she didn't survive or whatever. But that is fully not the case.
No. But we cut to Harold Perrineau in a helicopter and a shadow passes him. But it turns out to just be Jeremy Renner scaring him for some cheap jump scares.
And man, I thought this was like, this is probably what would actually happen in this kind of situation. But I hated it because it scared me every time he did it. It scared me. I hated it so much. Damn it, Hawkeye.
Damn it, Hawkeye. Hawkeye is on patrol. And this is where he's going through and looking through the windows.
Yeah.
Where we see like a couple boning it out. We see the dad and his kids. We see the doctor. But we cut to the kid having a nightmare about his mom.
Yeah.
And her heterochromia. And she like rips her face off. And he wakes up and is like, I'm afraid that I'll forget what mom looks like. I don't even have a picture of her. And the sister's like, okay, well, we're going to sneak out and risk the lives of everyone here to go get one photograph.
Yeah.
No one is likable. No one.
I mean, they do cause everything that happens in this movie. Like, it is their fault.
Yeah. So as they're escaping, Jeremy Renner spots them and he calls it in.
He does.
Instead of shooting them.
Yeah.
It's weird because in most zombie films, there are two people who break all the rules and cause disasters.
Yeah.
But that's not usually the people you're following in the film. It's the other group who's like, no, they've destroyed, like, like, don't do it.
No, it would be me and you, Mikey, because you'd be like, I bet I can beat up a zombie. And I'd be like, Mikey, don't. But if we do, we got to capture it for content. So I'd be there on my cell phone filming you trying to beat up a zombie. We both get infected and kill all of the Isle of Dog base.
Meanwhile, I'm safe because I was at Quilt Town.
I don't want to try to fight a zombie. I think that's where I draw a line there.
What if it's a zombie kangaroo?
Can I catch the virus? Is it cross species?
It's only in kangaroos.
I'd fight a zombie kangaroo, yeah.
Okay. All right. Honestly, I respect that choice.
Because I feel like I had an even better chance. Like, is it undead or is it like a rage kangaroo?
It's rage. It's this movie type of zombie.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's not thinking. It's throwing off balance. I think we can use that. I think I can. There's some advantages there.
I love your hubris.
I wouldn't even try. I would get a sniper rifle and pick off people from the air, just like I do at all video games.
Yeah, that's the right call, Paige.
Yeah.
Nuke it from orbit. We gotta stop these zombie roos!
Hell yeah.
In Horizon Zero Dawn, on the bluffs of Utah, just like one arrow in a dream, just like sniping people from the top.
She's killing people in San Francisco from them bluffs.
Yeah, just arcing that arrow. That was me in Ghost of Tsushima. I'm like, I'm in the thatch of your roof, and I'm just going to drop down, stab through your neck, and then skitter back up. Like, that's me.
Oh, should I play that one?
Oh, Mikey,
dude,
it's good.
Dude, Ghost of Tsushima's fucking lit.
But honestly, Paige, we got a lot of democracy to spread. Like, we got to take back the automaton planets, man. It's just, it's rough.
I'm not going to be good at Helldivers.
Todd hates playing with me. I just run off and I'm like, I'm going to go nuke this thing over here. I'll be back later.
No, it's great. I love it. Please.
Well, once Armando explained to me how the game works, I was like, not only is this game aggressively not for me, but also I can't believe you guys are playing together.
It's amazing. Honestly, we have a lot of fun playing Helldivers 2 together. It's great.
Yeah. We did like a really serious mission as a group yesterday. Or the day before, and we succeeded.
Yeah. It was a suicide mission level, guys.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Now, we didn't get the super rare samples page because
couldn't find Dick Rock. But listen,
it's very foggy on the planet that we were on. It was very foggy.
We could not find Dick Rock through the foliage, but I'm sure it was there.
Sure. Armando's new favorite thing is because apparently when you respawn, it puts you in like a space pod and sends you to the Earth.
You're a hell diver. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you know that you could target and kill people with your space pod?
Yes.
Yeah.
Paige.
That's apparently all he's doing. Like, he and Roses and Griff were just like constantly murdering each other by like sending their pot. Like one of them would die, like because they killed each other, and then they would just like send a pod down and kill the other one, and it was just an unending cycle.
Hell yeah!
I would kick everyone in the game that was doing that.
Yeah,
I'm here to spread democracy, not fuck around for Twitch viewers. Let's do this.
Oh geez. Anyway, they run out. They get to a pizza place. They're going to steal a little like Vespa thing. But she goes inside and there's a full on starved out dead body in that pizza place and roaches.
I mean, and a lot of maggots in the food. Like it's really gross in there. But she grabs the keys and the helmet off of the dead guy and then takes it to her brother and is like, put this helmet on. It's fine.
Yeah. Oh, God.
It doesn't probably have maggots in it, too. Like that dude's been dead for months at this point.
Oh, so they get on the Vespa. They go across the bridge to their home. And here's the thing. There, it's a very cool set of shots through abandoned London, but like there's still bodies around. Like,
yeah,
any one of those bodies is dangerous. They all carry the virus. Like, I wouldn't be touching anything.
Fuck no, I would no. I mean, I wouldn't go though because I'm a. I just I don't know. I would never leave quarantine. It's insane to me that anyone does. But yeah. Okay,
crazy.
But I also wore a mask during COVID, so you know.
Yeah,
I'm infected with the woke virus or whatever.
But see, this is my consummate fear is that I would be the person masked up trying to be safe. And then somebody else is these kids and brings infection back. And I still get rounded up into a room and just shot so that it doesn't get spread. So like, that's my fear is like, you did everything right. And it does not matter. The actions of somebody else, because they could not wait or whatever,
yeah,
caused you to get murdered. Which I will say, living out quarantine in Los Angeles, I feel like people were pretty good. Most people wore masks. There were rumors of people having weird cocaine parties in the hills, but like, I didn't hang out with those people, so I was fine.
This District 1 thing, like, you have snipers on the roofs at all time, and there's just people can just walk out and take a Vespa to their like out of the quarantine zone. Like,
I don't think they typically should. I think I know in Last of Us universe they would have been gunned down. I was surprised that they
weren't.
It's
like Last of Us. Like this should be have been run like a Last of Us. This should have been a walled off area.
Yeah.
Two dumb kids. The first kids that show up destroy the whole thing.
Literally. Yeah. Kids have been on the island less than 24 hours and they are on their way to destroy life as we know it. That is what's happening in this moment, guys.
Yeah, they grab pictures of mom. They go on the trampoline. He goes looking for his sister and he sees something move in the attic. It is his mom, but she is not infected, or at least does not seem to be. And she comes and grabs him and he's like, you're hurting me. And there's men with guns outside. I think she's trying to hold him so he doesn't go outside. She's afraid they're going to shoot him outside because I think she's watched it happen to other people.
I think she's holding him like that because she misses him so much and is also fighting the rage virus.
Oh, possibly. Yeah. But I also think that she has been hiding out in this house. And so she probably saw a lot of people get shot.
Oh, I mean, and it seems like she's been held up in this room for months, eating whatever she could find for months. Like, I completely agree. Because it's not like, I mean, sure, she's immune, but like rage zombies also put their thumbs through your eye sockets to death. So like she's still in grave danger the whole time she's there.
Yes, the whole time.
Yeah.
And in danger from the troops who would absolutely shoot her on sight.
Yes. Well, I mean, I think because they think she's a survivor, they take her to the base.
Right.
So I sort of understood why they did that. But also I understood why Idris Elba was like, you can test her corpse.
Yeah.
Like she's too dangerous. Like I understood both sides of that.
100%. But she also knows that she's been bit. So I understand her hiding from them.
Yeah.
As much as she's hiding from everyone else, because she knows it's on site.
Yeah.
Remember in 2018 when Border Patrol separated thousands of refugee kids from their parents and then deported the parents back to their home countries, all while keeping the kids in the United States? Well, believe it or not, 6 years later, there are still hundreds of families who haven't been reunified. And although we as a community might feel hopeless at times, I recently learned about an organization called Al Otro Lado, which works to reunify families. They provide holistic, legal, and humanitarian support to refugees, deportees, and other migrants in the U.S. and Tijuana through a multidisciplinary, client-centered, harm reduction-based practice. Since 2018, they've reunited over 100 refugee families ripped apart by Trump's zero-tolerance policy. Once reunited, Al Otro Lado helps each family to find legal representation, housing, and the counseling that they need in order to heal and get back on their feet. Imagine having your child ripped from your arms and never knowing when you would see them again. We can't let family separations go on. If you're like me and you believe that all families belong together, then join me in supporting Al Otro Lado and donate today. You can find the link to donate to Al Otro Lado in the description of this episode, or go to gum.fm/charity and donate today. You can also consider volunteering with the organization, which offers opportunities that are both in-person and virtual. The best way to get involved is by filling out an application on their website at alotrolado.org/volunteer. Again, that's alotrolado.org/volunteer.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
So they drag them back to the quarantine camp. They shower her off. And Rose Byrne goes to take her blood and sees the bite. And it's a healed bite.
Yeah.
And so she says, have you come into direct contact with the infected? No answer. And Rose Byrne says, okay. But they still keep them quarantined.
This is where I lose all sympathy for her. Because she hides it, doesn't tell the truth. Then when her husband comes in a little bit, doesn't tell him to stay away. I've been bitten. I don't know what's up with me. It's just like, here, get some tongue action.
There's a part of me that thought it was specifically revenge.
I thought so, too.
Which I wasn't mad at.
But then that revenge ultimately leads to her getting killed. I mean, I guess she was about to die anyway.
If you go out to do a revenge, you got to dig two graves or whatever.
I mean, true, Mikey.
Remember, she is strapped down.
I know.
He kisses her. Had she not been strapped down and got up and bit him? Different story. But that's not what happens. Do I think that maybe she would have bit him given the chance? Yes, absolutely. And do I think that he doesn't ask for consent and just kisses her while she's strapped down and seals his own fate? Sure. And then it's horrifying that he then kills her. Terrifying.
Yeah.
But I do think that if they had not strapped her down and he came in, it was on sight. I think she would have murdered the shit out of him. And I would have cheered while it happened.
I mean, she does kind of murder the shit out of him and by extension her, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But I mean, she doesn't ever say, hey, I'm infected. Don't get close to me.
She doesn't say anything to him.
I know.
It's his own damn fault for assuming those romantic intentions upon her.
She does kiss him back when they're kissing. I think she even
says
she forgives
him. It doesn't matter.
In that scene.
No, she doesn't. She doesn't say shit to
him. No, he says, please. No, I think she says something to him in that scene, doesn't she?
No. Nothing. We'll get to it in a second.
God, I hope you're right about that, because the hate you're going to get online if that is not the case. But
it doesn't matter. She's fucking strapped down. She didn't ask him to come over and kiss her.
Okay, but she's not like, she seemed into it.
No.
She's definitely kissing him back, Mikey. She is.
Down.
Yeah, she kissed him back.
She's definitely kissing him back.
No, she is strapped the fuck down and he is kissing her head. There's no back. She can't interact with her hands. She's just moving her head. Like,
yeah. Thank you for agreeing with us that she kisses him back.
Yeah, she's like, she's doing this little thing with her.
No, we don't know if she's trying to move away. We don't know anything. She is strapped the fuck down. She has no agency at all in the scene.
I think ultimately the problem that we are all agreeing to right now is that she is not communicating well with her husband in this moment.
Sure.
And that's the ultimate issue, I think.
Also, who tries to make out with your wife while she's strapped down in quarantine? You know?
That's what I'm saying.
Okay. But if you're removing quarantine from his sentence, like,
there's, I mean, different context for different folks.
Sure. But that's not the context of this
scene.
It
is not. This is the most terrifying scene in the movie for me, for the record. Like, it's so scary. Sorry. Okay.
I think a forehead kiss would have been better.
Me too.
Sure.
Absolutely. Especially with what he's saying in the moment, Mikey.
But also, she does not know her infection status. Rose Byrne has not told her
that she
can pass it via saliva or anything.
Yeah.
And again, she is fucking strapped down. Like,
Rose Byrne hasn't told anyone, because there should be so many people in that lab being like, don't let anyone touch her.
Well, because what happens is, So wait, because we skipped way ahead.
Yeah, yeah. Let's get back to it. Yeah, sorry.
He goes and talks to the kids, and the kids are like, "You said you saw her fucking die," and he's like, "Well, I didn't say that. I thought she was dead." And they're like, "You murdered mom. You left mom there." They're pissed at him. You're like, for good reason.
Well, murder's a strong word, you know.
I don't think he murdered her. I think he took actions that led to her death, perhaps. But he also did lie to them. Because I think he did exactly say, "I went back and she was dead."
And she was dead, yes.
I definitely think that was a lie. So they're right to call him out on that in this moment.
I think closing the door murdered her. I think he chose. Now, here's the thing. If she had actually died, I mean, he would have gotten away with it. But it doesn't stop the fact that he closed the door, which ultimately caused her death. He chose to do it.
Absolutely.
So he could live. Like, that is what happened.
But right, if she had died, it would have been lost in the whole fog of war. Like, nobody ever would have questioned it, because it is, like, happening during this, like, horribly traumatic event. You know, like...
Right. Okay. So, Rose Byrne's looking at her blood. She's definitely infected. She's a carrier. She's not showing the symptoms, which makes her very dangerous. And this is where Idris Elba is like, "You gotta kill her." And I think she was going to. They just don't get to give the order in time because he sneaks in. And I actually wrote down the things he says, because it cuts back and forth. He says, "Alice, hey, baby, I'm sorry. I was scared. I shouldn't have run away. I was scared. Please forgive me." She does not say anything back. Zero.
I hope you're right about that.
So he does say after this, because he gets through that first section of the apology. This is where Idris Elba says, "You can run tests on her corpse." We cut back.
Yeah, because Rose Byrne did say to Idris, like, "She's infected. I don't know why she's not showing symptoms." And he's like, "Cool, we're going to kill her now." And then she's like, "No, I got to study her." And like, "You can study your fucking corpse. She's going to die."
Yes. Yeah. She's going to die. Yeah. We cut back and he says, "I love you." And she says, "I love you too."
Okay. So she does say something back.
She doesn't say, "I forgive you." She says, "I love you too."
Oh, I didn't know she said, "I forgive you." I just thought she said something back.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I was saying.
All she says is, "I love you." Because in this moment, I thought for sure he was going to try and kill her. I think she does too, because she knows he saw her left behind.
I did not get that read, but like, I could see it, I guess.
I don't think he was trying to kill her because she is alive in this facility. If she shows up dead, I mean, I realized that had he known about her infection status, he would have been probably heralded as a hero. But because no one knows that, they would be like, "Well, why'd you murder your wife? What's up?"
He doesn't and she doesn't. But we also, no one's watching them in this moment. If he suffocates her, she could have, air quotes, just died of her infection, whatever. Who knows, right? But I thought he was going to try and kill her to hide what had happened.
But he wouldn't be able to hide her corpse. Like, there's no way he was doing that, Paige.
He doesn't need to. He doesn't need to hide her corpse.
He does need to, because he would have murdered his wife under government control. Like, they would have been like...
But no one would have known. No one would have known that he did it.
Oh, I mean, I guess because there's no one there watching over this, like, highly dangerous person.
Guys,
that's insane to
me. I would like to use this conversation as evidence that this movie is bad. Like, this should not be happening.
Well, and this is why. Because I feel like the natural emotional progression for him would be to hide this, to hide it from his kids, to hide or whatever.
And the natural thing would be like, have a facility with actual people in it.
Sure, but that's other people. I'm saying just for him, for the things he controls, she's the only one that can tell his kids and everyone else, "He left me as bait." And I don't think he's going to get in, air quotes, trouble for that, because it's like wartime. But I don't think he wants his kids to know. And so I thought for sure he was going to try and kill her. So the fact that instead he comes up and kisses her and she does not initiate or lean forward into it. He just does. And then she moves her head. It's unclear. I thought she was going to bite him back.
I thought she was going to bite him back too, but she doesn't.
Yeah.
She just kisses him back, which ultimately does the same job though.
Well, and again, I can't confidently say it's kissing back, especially because she's tied down. I am not comfortable with that and giving her that agency in this situation.
Sure. That's fine. I mean, ultimately it does the same job as a bite.
Yeah.
So like, I don't give a shit. Like, it doesn't matter to me, but it's all terrible. This is the most scary part of the movie.
Yes.
And even if you're just looking at it, like from, he's like an abusive spouse allegory, which I think they do sort of try and play out a little bit with the son. And that's why he's following them around. Like, I understand why she would just sort of go along with him kissing her in this moment, because she is fucking strapped down.
Yeah.
And there's nothing she can do, which is what makes the rest of this scene so fucking scary for me.
Right, because she dies, yeah.
It's so...
Yeah.
It's bad, man. I hate it.
Because he turns immediately and just immediately kills her in a very violent, brutal way.
Yeah, I was gonna say, it's not immediate, and that's this... Because he's like punching her a bunch, puts his thumbs through her eyes. Like, it is the most, like,
yeah,
it's so terrible. I hated it.
It's rough. Then we get like infected vision as he goes on a rampage. The kids are in quarantine. They go to lock it down. They call Code Red.
Also, like, that room should automatically lock behind him. Like, yes. I don't, like, he should be stuck in that room because it is a quarantine.
She should be in a locked quarantine. Yeah,
like a big ass steel walls, like alien style.
Yeah, or like, what's the one with Natalie Portman where Oscar Isaac has to be in quarantine?
Annihilation,
which I would love to do sometime.
But that means that he has to scan his badge out of that room. Right?
Yeah.
So the zombie, him as a zombie, wouldn't know to do that, right?
Right.
Yeah.
I just don't like this movie because, like, it could have been so easy to make this outbreak make more sense.
I mean, I do think that there are things that are poorly thought out, maybe is not the right way to say it, but, like, the Code Red they call right now doesn't make any sense to me. Like, they bring all of them down to make them victims.
Code Red is like the alert status.
Well, okay, Code Red is the alert. There's three steps because Rose Byrne goes through them later, which is, number one, detect that somebody actually has the virus. Number two, contain survivors. And if containment fails, extermination.
Right, but they contain survivors in a place that is highly susceptible to zombie attack.
Yes, I don't think they knew that that was the case because they didn't know where he was.
They locked them in more or less a parking garage with just a flimsy door between it. Like,
yeah, and somebody opens the door.
I mean, yeah, but, like, that is not a safe location if all you have to do is open the door. Like, that's crazy.
But no, one of them inside opens the door. Not him on the outside. One of the survivors opens the door.
I know. That is not a secure location if they have the ability to open the door.
Yeah, you got to lock those civilians down.
But here's the thing. I think what the argument should be is that all the civilians should know what Code Red means and not to open the fucking doors. Because if they had not opened the door at that point, there's only like three infected total and they could have put them down.
Yeah.
Easily.
You know?
I think had they not opened the door, it would have been easy to, like, solve this.
Yes.
There should be two different medical facilities. One for, like, your PCP for these survivors, like a little mini hospital for them. And then, like, oh, we bring survivors to this one that's way outside of London.
Like they do in Left 4 Dead or whatever, where like, multiples. Yes, yeah.
Why would you put, like, oh, we'll just do our quarantine facility right next to the 15,000 people that we brought over here.
Yeah.
Or, like, inside of it.
Because, essentially, the command center, the lights go out, they usher all the survivors into a parking garage. At first, you think it only has one exit and they lock them in. There is another exit. And I do think that guy opens it to see if they can get out. Because the second they realize they're locked in, they all freak out because no one told them what was going on.
I mean, I honestly thought that we might see the military, like, sort of gas that chamber. And then maybe the kid escapes John McClane style like he does when the zombies get in. Because I do think bringing them there was a huge risk. It did not pay off.
No.
So, like, the military might just go ahead and kill everybody while they have control of everybody.
I fully thought that they were going to do that.
Yeah.
And again, that is my personal fear. But anyway.
And we do sort of find out. Killing them is part of the Code Red. It's just a later stage of the Code Red.
Well, it's only part if containment fails.
Exactly. But that's still a part of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And containment be failing, Paige.
Containment fails because literally they usher them into a parking garage. Someone lets his dad in. And it is it's an instant rage free-for-all. It is fucking terrifying. The little kid climbs up into the vents, which allows him to escape. But literally that entire room now is all rage zombies, and they immediately break out of containment.
Yeah.
Everyone is fucked. Everyone. And at this point, they call the extermination, basically, protocol.
Oh, yeah. Well, because you have to.
Because you have to.
Yeah.
So he is crawling through the vents, hearing the gunshots. And at first, the snipers are trying to only shoot infected, which this is going to sound terrible and callous. Mistake. Because there's no way from up high you could really tell. Like, you're going to end up shooting friendlies regardless.
I think, well, they of course do. But I think that what they're doing is... I think, positioned, and the point the movie is trying to make is like, this is the humane way to go about it, which is still not super humane.
Sure.
Because the way they're spotting zombies is what humans down there are attacking other humans,
right,
and what humans are just running, which is not effective, like you're saying, because if you're a zombie, yeah, also just running, you're going to make it through that.
Right, right,
so
right.
They're really just picking off the zombies that are eating people in that corridor between the buildings,
right?
And of course that's not effective, so eventually they just start killing everybody.
But this is why they start killing everybody, and they're like, wait, why has one of the snipers stopped firing? And he looks over and it's because he's
being
under
eaten.
Attack.
Yeah. And Jeremy Renner, I think, does a kindness and shoots that guy in the head.
Yes, 100%. And at this point, Rose Byrne calls over the radio and is like, I'm looking for Andy. Please, he has to be evacuated immediately. Please. Jeremy Renner tracks him in his sights once Andy makes it out of the vents. And he basically kind of clears a path for him a little bit as a sniper until he gets into the air quotes containment area, where they are definitely going to kill them later. But he makes sure he gets in there. Then Jeremy Renner abandons his post, picks up another gun, goes down to the ground, and follows Andy into that cargo bay.
Yeah, I mean, he drops the sniper because
it
would not be super effective close range, and he picks up like what is more or less like a M16-ish style rifle,
right,
which would be way more effective for what he's doing, and he uses it really well, honestly.
Yeah, so they barricade inside that cargo hold, and he's like, hey, heads up, they're going to shoot all of you. That's what's up. And Andy finds his sister and Rose Byrne, and he's like, Dad is one of them. But this is where she says, no, they're going to exterminate until everyone is dead.
Yeah.
So either the infected or the snipers will get you. And Jeremy Renner pops up to be like, look, it's dark right now, which gives you some cover from the infected because they're still human. They can only see what they can see.
Right.
And he's like, but if you wait till the sun is up, you are as good as dead.
Yeah, because the snipers will be able to see you and the zombies will be able
to
see you.
The infected
will. So you're like double fucked.
Yeah.
Although snipers with night vision, like that is super scary too.
Yeah.
Like, they could get you from a mile away. You'd never know it until you were dead.
Yeah. But they follow Hawkeye. And this is where Andy does the zigzag so he can shoot the snipers out of their way, essentially.
So cool.
Yeah.
But like, don't do that, child.
He gets a call from Doyle in the helicopter. Doyle is like, hey, they're about to firebomb the entire place. You need to get the fuck out or you're going to die. You have 4 minutes to make it out.
Yeah, he literally says you have 4 minutes. And Jeremy Renner immediately goes back and goes, well, we were going to take this slow street by street, but now we're running. Follow me. like runs down the.
Which was also convenient because there was like 8 survivors and this run allows them to pick off everyone who's not essential with the exception of the one extra guy that they're going to kill later.
Yeah. But that is the snipers taking them out. Like that is the military popping them off.
I call him the hanger-on.
Yeah.
He was the fifth wheel or whatever, you know? Yeah.
They duck under the Thames in one of the tunnels under the river.
Yeah.
While they firebomb the city, they still are forced to continue to run because that tunnel catches on fire.
Yeah.
Somehow their dad lives through this. There's no good explanation for how he survives the firebombing, but we will find out that multiple infected survive the firebombing.
Well, which is why the next stage of the protocol is gassing the island, guys.
Is gassing the island, yes.
Which honestly would be super effective for killing everybody, including zombies, right? Like,
right, yes.
Sometimes bombs miss or they don't penetrate into buildings, but gas is going to do that.
Yep. Now, meanwhile, our group of 5 walks through the city. It's completely empty. And one of them is definitely expendable. Like, you know who's dying next.
Yeah.
But now the infected are loose in the city again. They make it to the gate. They get to this park, Regent's Park, which is like a theme park, but also has like grassy fields around it. And at this point I looked and there was 30 minutes left in the movie. And I was like, they're going to have to fight the infected in this park. Except it was way more awesome than that.
Oh my God. This
this part's
this
so cool.
This was my favorite part of the movie. When Mercutio was like, a plague on all your skull caps.
Yeah.
Like, let's go. And he like decapitates a pack of zombies with his helicopter. It was so cool.
He shows up. He radios in. He's like 60 seconds. They get to the drop point. He's like, who are all these people with you?
Yeah, because Hawkeye didn't tell him over the radio that he had like saved people that are coming with him.
And he's like, I'm only taking you. I'm not taking anybody else. But before they can even get on the helicopter, there's a whole crop of infected. And so he just tilts the blades of the helicopter and just just Indiana Joneses this entire crowd. Just like, boom.
It's so great.
But also, as they're arguing about this before he goes and takes out the zombies, the hanger-on, as Mikey said, the fifth wheel,
yes,
jumps on the helicopter, like, whatever that thing that, like, skid at the bottom
that
of the
part.
Yeah.
Yeah, the part you want to hang on to. Yeah.
You want to hang on that
lander,
part.
The
yeah.
lander part. You guys know what we're saying. Anyway, so he's hanging on that while they're, like, decapitating everybody that has the infection. And he's getting showered with blood. Like, there's no way he isn't quickly turned into a zombie.
Right.
But he dies. Like, he doesn't survive that either.
Well, he like, drops him into the crowd of them, and yes, they eat him immediately.
Yeah.
And he uses that distraction to, like, slice more of them up.
Yeah.
Then he basically radios and says, like, I can't pick you up here. Get to the stadium, and I will extract you there. And he basically is like, great, you better be there, because we will be.
Yeah.
They make a run for it, but this is where they notice that they are gassing the city. So they climb into a car and they're trying to get it to start. They can't get it to turn over. He has to push start it, and he gets it rolling, but then they firebomb him and he burns to death.
Yeah.
Right outside the car.
Because there are soldiers. So, like, as they see the car and the smoke, zombies come out. So, like, they get in the car, the zombies die because of the smoke or the gas, more or less.
Right.
And then the soldiers immediately come with, like, flamethrowers.
Yeah.
So they know they can't just stay in the car until the smoke dissipates, right?
Right. Yeah.
And then Jeremy Renner does sacrifice himself. I think he was going to die no matter what, because he went out there without a gas mask. He just had, like, a little mask over his face.
Yeah.
And that's not going to save you from all that shit. So, like, I think he was probably going to die either way, but he does get firebombed, more or less.
He and Rose Byrne had a conversation while they were waiting for the helicopter, where she's like, hey, his blood might be the key to this infection. It might not be, but it might be, which means that he's more valuable than my life and your life. So whatever it takes to get him to safety, that is what we are doing, even if it means it kills both of us.
I think he makes the right choice. I get why he makes this choice.
Yeah.
It's sad, but, like, I wish Rose Byrne had told anybody else that.
Yeah.
That was still alive at this point.
I think the sister knew. We never see her tell her, but the way that the sister protects him, other than just out of, like, little brother protection, it made me think that maybe the sister knew.
I mean, she certainly knows at the end when they're in the helicopter. She certainly knows then. So, like, I'm not saying it's her fault. I'm just saying, like, France should sue her.
They take off in the car. And they drive down into the tube, but they have to go lower to get to the tracks so that they can make their way to the stadium, which, that's the last place I want to be in a zombie outbreak, is a pitch black subway station.
Oh, you mean with only one night vision scope to see where you're going, and you're having to climb over bodies down, like,
down
an escalator,
escalators,
I guess? Like, oh,
yes,
my God. No, thank you. No, I am just going to die. You can leave me here. It's been a good run.
I'm surprised Tammy didn't, because she falls down a very long escalator, which I do think she would have broken bones. Like, she would have gotten really hurt.
I think she'd have been fine. She landed on a bunch of corpses, guys. It's the scariest thing imaginable. I would have lost my mind if I was her. Although, she can't really see what it is, although...
She knows.
I bet you would know. I bet you would know.
I bet you'd smell it, yeah.
Oh, I didn't think about the smell. I never considered the smell. That would be so bad. Oh, my God.
It would be terrible. She grabs the gun, because who should show up but their dad, a lone zombie that has somehow escaped the pack and tracked them down, and he beats Rose Byrne to death.
Who is also their dad, right? So stupid, right? Because you're saying it, their dad, who is I hate it.
But I did the shot where he kills Rose Byrne with the butt of the gun and you see it through the sniper sight.
Yeah, that's pretty fun.
It's actually pretty cool.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Tammy gets the gun. They're running. He takes off after them. They get to the train platform and he tackles Andy and bites him. And Tammy puts him down, or shoots him once and then shoots him a second time to truly put him down.
Yeah.
And what we see is that Andy doesn't immediately turn. His eye turns red, but he doesn't have any other symptoms.
Which is more or less what happened to his mother's eyes, although we see it in a much later stage, and they started to, like, crust over on one of them.
Well, it's receded for his mom, so, like, it seems like she's almost surviving and healing from the infection and beating it, and his is fresh, so his whole eye is blood.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
But is it just the brown eye? Is that the one that was... Yeah, so I thought that was interesting.
Yes.
When... It doesn't, like, the virus still impacts people with blue eyes, right? So it's really, if you only have one blue, one brown, then your blue eye is fine. Your brown eye is fucked.
Well, we all have one brown eye.
We all do, Mikey. I have three.
I think it's just heterochromia in general.
Sure. Okay.
So
okay,
that
okay.
could be any number of colors.
Yeah, yeah. My friend that I had it had a blue and a green eye.
Most people have blue and brown, but like blue and green, I think would be pretty cool.
It was cool. Waddell, if you're out there, thinking of you, buddy. Haven't seen you since high school. Hope you're still alive.
They walk to the stadium and Harold Perrineau is there and is like, where is Jeremy Renner? This is supposed to be me and Hawkeye. And they're like, ain't nobody alive. It's just us. And he says, okay, get in. Puts him in a helicopter. They take off. They fly over an empty and firebombed and gassed London. Then we get a title card that says 28 days later, an empty crashed helicopter, which I do think was potentially shot out of the air. We don't know.
It very well
could be. Their bodies are gone.
It also doesn't, that being there 28 days after they fly across doesn't mean it's their helicopter either. So like there's a lot of questions about what happened.
It is their helicopter because it has the drawing from his kids and the picture of his family in it.
You're right.
So at minimum, it's his helicopter.
For sure. So yeah, maybe they did shoot it down minutes after the cut to black for the 28 days later.
Yep. But it picks up a radio transmission from a French soldier asking for help. We cut to the entrance of the Trocadero, basically the metro entrance into the Trocadero where the Eiffel Tower is. And we see a number of infected running up those stairs and out into the Trocadero.
And that's the movie.
I gotta say, that final shot is cool as shit. Because it is like they're running upstairs and then the Eiffel Tower is right there. And you're like, fuck, this is France?
Yep.
Because that's like all of Europe right there. Like, All of
Europe done.
I mean, that would probably go all the way through Russia, hit China.
North Africa, by the way, there's only just a small strait between them. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's basically half the world gone.
Yeah. Anyway, so having seen this movie and we talked about the movie, what did you guys think about 28 weeks later?
While it does get to some of my personal fears, there are some logical issues with it, as we have covered in this episode.
Yeah, I won't get into I feel like my first thoughts are my final thoughts. I don't want to rehash. I don't enjoy it.
It is a scary movie, so it scared me. I think I understand why people like the fast zombie vibe of zombie movies, because to me, it's more like an action movie and less like a drama, you know?
Yeah.
Like slow zombies are more that way. So I do enjoy the action-y elements of this, like them fucking firebombing London was cool as shit. Like the high shots of London just desolate was cool as shit. Like when they're going across London Bridge and stuff like that. I love that stuff. The jump scares were too much. I don't like them. I hated that. But I get why people would like this movie. It does feel very 2007, though. Anyway. But, Paige, do you have any fun facts for us?
I do.
Well, here it is with your fun facts. 28 fun facts.
So, they are doing a third installment. And screenwriter Alex Garland is actually coming back. That was debatable because Danny Boyle has always wanted to do a third installment. And Alex Garland didn't necessarily. He did do both of these, but was apprehensive about a third one. Now, the third one, originally we thought it would be 28 months later. It is 28 years later, and Cillian Murphy will be coming back for it.
Very cool. Yeah, I mean, I am excited to see. Well, first off, excited that Cillian Murphy's character is still alive, because we don't see him at all in this movie, so we have no idea. And I really want to know what's been going on in this universe. Like, I actually do sort of like the world that it is.
Yeah.
And I would like to see the stages of it that far out. So that's cool.
So the original idea for this sequel, the initial one, was to do 29 days later and to pick up with the characters where we left off. But by the time they went to go do that, Cillian Murphy was much more famous.
Yeah.
It was not as easy to put everyone together. Now, they dropped that idea in favor of doing a different movie that is not what this movie turns out to be. But initially it was supposed to be an SAS team, which is basically like UK so fucking Army. Cool.
Yeah, it's like UK Special Forces. It's not just Army. Yes. Like that is that's like Navy SEALs, but yes. British.
Call of Duty level.
Yes. Yeah. It was an SAS team that would have gone into London to retrieve the Prime Minister and or the Queen.
Oh, fuck. That'd have been so cool if we get like a Queen Elizabeth, like, oh, Lordy, zombies, or whatever she sounds like.
Like an Olympus has fallen, but it's the 28
oh
days.
Oh, my God.
Year,
yes.
Later
so good.
Universe.
Fuck. Okay. Someone doing Olympus has fallen with zombies. Like, I would watch that movie. Get Gerard Butler on the case.
But eventually, they adjusted the script so that it would be even longer after the events of the initial film, because that initial idea with SAS and the Queen would have happened during the time frame of the original 28 days later. So, like, the initial outbreak. So then they pivoted to later, to try and deal with the impact it had had on society in general.
Sure.
All of the actors playing infected people, as apart from our leads, have a history in dance, gymnastics, circus, or mime. And they did workshops to learn how the infected move. So they have like a cohesive movement, which is really interesting.
Okay, that is really cool.
So now we get into one of my favorite type of fun facts, because you may not know this. Danny Boyle, Edgar Wright, really good friends.
Really? I did not know that.
Hot Fuzz exists within the 28 Days Later universe.
Oh, I love that.
So the boy at the beginning of the movie claims to have come from Sanford. Sanford is a fake village. It is the one from Hot Fuzz.
Mm.
And it's the one that has the model village, and they've won you know, fancy one. Now, the street plan of Sanford is like the fake one in the movie is based on Dundee, Scotland. It was filmed in the West Country through a couple different places, but I've been to the main place. It's Wells, I believe, is where most of it is filmed. However,
I'll be in Wales next week.
Not Wales, Wells.
Wells, sorry, never mind, my bad.
It's all good. Now, previously in Shaun of the Dead, they make a joke on a news report about rage-infected monkeys and saying that that wasn't the cause of the zombies, because that came out 2 years after 28 Days Later.
Oh, I remember that, yeah.
Now, additionally, to double and triple down, as they ride across the London Bridge in this movie, there's just a rogue swan.
That's amazing. Yeah. Okay.
Which is kind of your extra little Hot Fuzz tidbit. The farm that they hide out in the beginning of the film is the same one from Children of Men.
No shit. Okay.
And Robert Carlyle had originally been offered the Christopher Eccleston part in 28 Days Later, but turned it down. So
He's an amazing actor, man. I've seen him in a bunch of stuff. Like, he's really good.
Yeah. Now, Danny Boyle doesn't direct this because of his commitments to Sunshine, which I think you guys did before I joined the show.
Yes. We did. Yeah.
But I do love that movie. That's a great movie.
I like that movie, too.
I feel like it's not one that's often talked about, but really good.
It's not, but it's really good.
I have a hard time with it because I've never been to space.
I mean, I've never been to zombie-infected London. So the title cards that give us the timeline of what has happened between 28 days and 28 weeks was the screenwriter Alex Garland's idea. And I do think that's brilliant, because
me too.
In that timeline, there are horrifying realities that you are forced to infer. The character of Doyle, his name is actually a reference to Danny Boyle, because he wasn't going to be able to work on this movie, but he is doing the new one. So
nice.
There you go. Those are your fun facts.
I'm excited that the guy who wrote the original screenplay is coming back for this one, even though he wasn't necessarily on board. I know, but like I'm glad he is.
Yeah, same.
Because I really think when franchises split up who the creative force is behind the property, it disjoints the entire series, which we saw with the Star Wars sequels.
Alex Garland has actually written a ton of stuff that's really good, because I believe he also wrote Ex Machina. I'm going to double, triple check that.
He's a name I've heard, but I honestly couldn't tell you anything he wrote.
Yeah, Ex Machina.
Okay.
Annihilation, which is also fucking good. Yeah, no, Alex Garland has written a lot of fucking dope movies that I really like.
Yeah, so I'm excited to see where it goes. This is scary for me, though, so like when we talk scary scale, we'll talk about all that. Yeah. But Paige, thank you for those fun facts. But let's talk a little bit about box office. So what do you think the production budget was for 28 Weeks Later in 2007?
$20 million.
Okay.
This is made in the UK, which means it's going to be cheaper, but I'm actually going to say 35.
Okay. I was impressed with the amount they spent on this movie, and I'll tell you why, because it was only $15 million.
Jeez, this looks amazing for 15.
Those shots in London, like the high overhead helicopter shots, were probably the majority of their shooting budget. Like, that shit is so expensive to do, because they had to shut down like London Bridge during the day to capture that. Like, that's insane to me. Anyway, but it looks great for $15 million. If you adjust for inflation, that's $22.4 million today. Now, this movie came out the weekend of May 18th, 2007, and it was number 2 in the box office that weekend. It was beat by Spider-Man 3, then 28 Weeks Later was number 2, Georgia Rule was number 3, Disturbia was number 4, and Delta Force was number 5. What do you think 28 Weeks Later brought in at the box office the weekend of May 11th, 2007?
I'm going to say budget. I'm going to say 15.
Okay.
I'm going to say a little over and say 22.
Okay. It only brought in $9.8 million. Oh, I really do think Spider-Man 3 soaked up a lot of that weekend because it brought in $58.1 million in its opening.
That movie was an abomination.
I know, but like I think it had only been out for 2 weeks, and I don't think word of mouth spread faster than the hype was for that movie to go see it, if that makes sense. So like I get why people were still going to see it in its second week. This movie did really well in the box office. Not like insanely well, but in its next week, it was number 3 in the box office. In its third week, it was 6th. And then in its fourth week, it was 9th. So like in the first month of its release, it was in the top 10, which is not bad. It was in the theaters for a total of 14 weeks though. And again, this is domestically. I'm not talking about when it was released in the UK. So what do you think it brought in domestically?
30.
Okay. Paige, what are you thinking?
Total, I'm going to say 40 because I remember this being kind of a big deal.
This is just domestically. You're both close, honestly, though. It's $28.6 million just domestically. Now, internationally, which I think you could probably say is actual domestic for this movie because it is a UK-based movie, but it brought in $35.5 million for a total of $64.2 million. Which brings the adjusted with inflation total up to $96.1 million. So it definitely made money. It didn't actually make as much money as 28 Days Later. 28 Days Later brought in $82.9 million in its run, but that was in 2003. It still did really well, though. Not quite as good as the original. I bet the new one, because it's been so long, and this one was pretty good, will bring in a lot. But we'll see. But that is your box office. Nice. So, Mikey, do you want to hit us with that scary scale?
Yeah, our scary scale listeners, a scale of 1 to 10 of how scary we found the film today. Our 1 example is Ghostbusters, and our 10 example is Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Paige.
That's a 5 for me.
Oh, shit, Paige.
Yeah, dude. Damn, Paige. This one got me.
No, I get it. I get it. I'm going to give it a 5, too. I was surprised that mine wasn't going to be higher than yours. But, like, there are some scary moments in this movie. We've talked about it a few times, but the scene where she's turning him and he is attacking her is the scariest moment. But the jump scares are what push it all the way to a 5 for me.
Yeah, for me, it's all the times that they round up random people and start shooting them. That's the one that scares me the most.
It's the one that like could actually happen in society.
I think that's why it's so scary.
Yeah, because that right there has happened so many times throughout history.
Mm-hmm.
And zombies have never happened throughout history. So that is the one we should be scared of for sure.
Well, look how much the world freaked out for COVID, which was really bad. But like, let's say that COVID caused people's eyes to bleed or kids to die. Then we would have had we probably would have had soldiers on every city or whatever. It would have been rough. Anyway, I give it a 1. And that's our scary scale.
I think when logic breaks down in movies for you, like it clearly does in this, and I agree with all your criticisms of it. Like I do think some of the stuff they do
it takes
dumb.
Me out. It just takes me out.
Yeah, that's what I was
going
to say. Exactly. So I get that.
Unless it's like ghost scary, but like zombies is not my this is not my scare lane.
Zombies get me.
Usually they don't get me, but I think the realism of this and Cloverfield and the realism and closeness of it to real events for me is what is scaring me.
This has been a surprisingly fun month, I will say.
Yeah.
So this week you guys made us watch 28 Weeks Later. What are you making us watch next week?
So for this coming Monday, it's going to be War of the Worlds. And our justification, I guess I consider it a horror movie. It fucked me up real bad when I saw it in theaters. And I have not seen it since because it scared me so badly.
I saw it in theaters too, Paige, and I haven't seen it since. This is one of the movies that I definitely would call horror when I saw it in theaters.
Yeah.
And I think this may be the movie that I realized that like when people say like thriller, what they mean is like...
Mean is horror.
It's like horror, a lot of guys. The time. It's like horror, but we don't want you to think it's horror going in. And this is very much like a sci-fi thriller, literal disaster movie.
And to clarify, the 2005 version.
Tom Cruise, baby. Yeah, I think it might be our first film with Tom Cruise.
On this show.
Until we do his version of The Mummy.
Oh, it's so terrible. It's so bad.
There's a lot of science fiction films Tom Cruise is in that maybe we could classify as horror. I am willing to go to bat.
Oblivion is low-key one of my favorites.
I do like Oblivion.
It's really like thought-provoking good, which is nuts for a Tom Cruise film.
But also the fact that at the end of the movie, it reveals that an army of Tom Cruise's clones killed everyone on Earth is like the best reveal.
Oh, you mean it reveals that the Helldivers won and then changed the uniform they wear when they occupy planets? Yeah.
I mean, what's the one where he keeps coming back every time and he has to relive it with Emily Blunt?
Edge of Tomorrow. Fuck, that would be good to do.
I feel like it's not a horror movie. It's just a good movie.
It's a monster movie for sure.
It's a monster movie,
Paige.
Oh,
is there a monster in it? Oh, there's, I must have forgotten the end of that movie.
They're fighting alien monsters.
Yeah. It's like, oh my God, we could do that and Starship Troopers and something else the same month.
Starship Troopers is all, is that, that's not a horror movie, is it?
Paige. Let's just do what we want. Like, why are we even holding on to this? It's 2024.
Paige, how horrible would it be if we had to spread democracy throughout the universe we flew to these blood planets to steal probably their oil? Anyway.
Although, we'll tell Todd after the month and the months that we thought of.
We've got the next 2 months and they're insane.
I love it. Okay, I'm gonna bleep it because I don't want it to reveal what they are yet, because I do love the themes we are teasing here in this moment. But
how insane Mikey and I have gotten at this point.
Yeah. I can't wait. I cannot wait to reveal it. Anyway, but your homework for next week is to watch War of the Worlds featuring Tom Cruise. And is it a young Dakota Fanning?
Is it Dakota or Elle? I think it's Elle Fanning. Hold on.
It's
let me double check that.
2005. Oof. I don't know. I mean, I really truly don't know. It is Dakota Fanning. I looked it up.
Yeah.
Our second Spielberg film.
Yeah. But you'll need to report back next week to listen to that episode and to get our thoughts on it.
Not my blood.
So, Mikey, do you have a review for us to read?
I do.
Well, whose review are you going to read this week, my friend?
Johan Perez.
I'm sure you nailed that. Well, what is Johan?
Everyone.
Or Johan Perez, or however you said it. What do they have to say?
They decide to fuck me at first because it says the first words say, "Hey, it's Johan." I just wanted to say that I appreciate you all for contributing to the best podcast ever.
Aww.
My favorite genre of movies is horror, so I love that you guys break it down and tell me things that I never knew or thought about while watching these movies. It can really change my thoughts and opinions on them.
Nice.
Thanks to all the hard work you guys put in. P.S. Just so y'all know, Mikey is my favorite. And then he has a laughing emoji and a hang 10 emoji. 5 stars.
That does really feel like Mikey's my favorite energy. Like, not just this laughing smiley face, but like the hang 10 part of it.
Heck yeah.
And honestly, I bet he's going to be thrilled that you butchered his name. But thank you so much for that awesome 5-star review. And I'm going to read one of our Spotify comments that just came out on our Terrified episode, because that's the most recent one that's dropped. I'm going to read this one from Melissa, and she said, "Have you guys seen Death Note? That would be a cool movie for you to do. Also, love the pod." So is Death Note
it's
the other side?
It's an anime.
Okay. Yeah. For some reason, when I read that one, the reason I read it was because I thought it was the other half of Planet Terror. I guess it's not, but
No, that's Death Proof. We have not done Death Proof yet.
We haven't. But I do know there are a lot of people that are pulling for us to eventually do an animated horror month, or at least work some animated horror into the episode. So, I mean, I don't get to pick the movies, so we'll see if that ever happens. But thank you so much for the comment, Melissa. And if you want to have me read your comment or Mikey read your reviews, leave us a 5-star review or Spotify comment, and we will do just that. So, guys, if you like this show but want to hear this power thruple on another movie review show about romance and romantic comedies, check out Romancing the Pod, where Mikey, Paige, and I break down and make fun of romantic movies. It's a lot of fun, guys. Check it out. If you want to follow us on social, please do. We are at Horror Virgin or online at horrorvirgin.com. If you want to follow us all individually, you can do that as well. Paige is at Paige Wesley on Twitter, or Rampage Wesley everywhere else, including TikTok. Mikey is at mrandolph24, and I am at Todd J. Awesome. If you like the show so much and you want to help financially support it, please do by going to patreon.com/horrorvirgin, where you can get a lot of great levels and a lot of great stuff, like bonus episodes, director's cut episodes, where they're a little bit longer and you get them actually a day earlier than the regular feed drop. We do a lot of great things, like listener requests and stuff like that. So guys, check out the Patreon and help support the show.
If you want to financially support me but not Todd, just look me up on Venmo.
If you can't financially support the show, that's understandable. That's fine. But if you want to hang out with us on the daily, join the Facebook group at facebook.com/group/horrorvirgin. We also link it like once a week. So just find it there and join the awesome Facebook group. Literally, we're in there talking every day. It's awesome. And guys, we got a P.O. box. So if you want to send us some love letters or whatever you might send to a P.O. box, it's actually not a P.O. box. It's like a regular street address. It's pretty awesome. It's 6688 Nolensville Road, number 108-34, Brentwood, Tennessee 37027. So send us some stuff.
Yeah.
And if you want to check out our Twitch stream, we're at twitch.tv/ToddAwesome, where we will be playing horror video games. So if you have always wondered what it would be like to watch me get scared, you can now do that on Twitch while I play these horror games. It's twitch.tv/ToddAwesome, guys. Check it out. It's a lot of fun for you. Not a lot of fun for me. This episode was brought to you by Tia, and Tia's teenager's been like driving her crazy. So how is Tia's teenager driving her crazy this week?
I mean, she kept sneaking out.
She caused the death of France.
By sneaking out, she caused the death of France? Good Lord, yeah. Tia, get your teenager under control.
I know.
But thank you for the support. This episode was also brought to you by Jonathan, and Jonathan wants me to make you guys watch some videos, and he did send one this week. So I have it. And honestly, I sort of feel bad sometimes when we don't have one because we are having to front load recording some episodes because of Panic Fest and my trip to Wales. So sorry we missed it last time. This one, I think, Mikey, you might enjoy. It is from TikTok. It is a flipping monster truck, Mikey.
Damn.
How can you not like this?
That's amazing.
Pretty cool.
This is legit cool. Like, I would go see this.
That's very cool.
A few years ago, I went to a monster truck show downtown.
I feel like that'd be terrifying because how could you even manage to control how many flips it does? But I guess it always lands on the wheels, kind of like the, you know, RC versions.
Well, you know what they say about monster trucks is they're like cats and they have nine lives and always land on their wheels.
That makes sense.
But like this dude is really good in this truck that he is slowly destroying along with his spine, I would imagine.
Oh my God. Yeah. The roll cage on that must be insane.
I know. But Jonathan, thank you so much for the support. And honestly, this dope ass video, because it is kind of cool.
Yeah, it's dope as hell.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
We now return you to another possibly dope episode of
The Patreonicles.
Welcome back to the post-apocalypse.
Hell yeah.
All right, so Leaf Girl and Lara, who is being worn on Vixen Avery's neck because she's an iPad, were like, okay, we have to go to the west to get to the ocean. This is checking out because they're in Europe.
Okay.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
They made it all the way to Europe.
And everybody's got their, they're like, we're meeting a messenger at on the coast.
Okay.
There's men's, Terminator men's, all over, like, patrolling and everything. They run into, like, a town that's, like the last town they were in, which is kind of fake. You know, there's screens of Isaac just preaching about, you know, his cultist-like agenda here. And Evil Matthew was like, it comes out that Evil Matthew's more the enforcer. He likes to torture people, and Isaac likes to keep the world under his control. They have a fortress somewhere. We don't even know where these villains are at right now.
Dang.
Or whatever. So they go through one of these towns and they're like, you know, and then Kate was like, my powers are back. Let's fuck this place up.
Hell yeah.
And so she's using psychic powers and fucking men's up in people. And like Aaron's got her bow and arrows. Like she's like Rambo. There's some explosive ones. She's like Hawkeye now. She's just Hawkeye. And you're now just Hawkeye.
Nice.
Okay.
So she can just take people out. And then Wes steals a boat. There's a, because they're getting close to the coast. And then
okay, Elrond.
Gonna need.
Yeah. Yeah. Allie, Karoon, and Natasha, or they've created a support group during this journey where they can cry together. They are all crying right now for various reasons. Allie is trying to find her new footing as not a mermaid. Bo Easy, as a Florida man, he has made a necklace out of Terminator teeth.
Great.
And he is wearing it.
I love that they built Terminators and gave them teeth because they don't eat, guys. They don't need teeth.
They're like metal teeth, like that one guy from James Bond.
Exactly.
Jaws. That guy's name was Jaws. And I think he predated the movie Jaws, right?
100%. Yeah, because that's a 60s movie. Yeah.
I thought so.
So then Jeremy with his laser eyes is like messing stuff up. And then Libby, she actually takes a hit here and loses an arm. And
damn, her whole arm?
Yeah. Ugh. The Terminator just ripped it off. And River Moon rushes to the aid, sprinkles on some crystals and some...
You know what's really good for getting your arm ripped off?
Essential oils.
Some baking soda, chrysanthemum, and crystal powder.
Uh-huh. And she's like, take this multivitamin. And then...
what is this?
Centrum.
Centrum Silver, yeah.
And Sexcalibur knows about arms because he's got his power glove that can do a bunch of things. And he's like, I think this power glove can do surgery on her. And so Madeline brings over a Terminator arm. And then they attach a Terminator arm to Libby.
Okay, so the power glove does no surgery. So it is autonomously using his hand to perform surgery. That is a powerful glove, guys.
It is a powerful glove. And then
and Paige was like, when she first heard power glove, she was like, ooh, what that power glove do? And she was not thinking surgery. It was another S word.
No, no.
Sexy.
No, I was thinking more of a like, Amy sad. Amy have power glove.
It's a multi, it can still do that. That is a one of its like just basic functions.
Right, right.
Sign
right.
language for primates? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Vixen Avery sells her laser gun. She's shooting people. Edward is a giant, just fucking hammer. He just fucks stuff up.
Hell yeah.
But it's just not a practical device there.
No. Mm. It is a great weapon or tool to build with, and I like that.
And then Sunzi's like, hey, I was sent here from the other place, and that's where I grew up, and that's where I was kidnapped from. It's the only free city on Earth, and like we got to get to it. Dinotopia, that's where I grew up. And then that's the end of the episode.
Well, I guess we'll have to wait till next week to see if she gets to Dinotopia on another episode of
The Patreonicles. That's going to be it for us, you guys. I'm Paige.
I'm Mikey.
And I'm your horror virgin, Todd.
Keep it ookie spooky.
Yeah. Have a great week.
Bye. So excited. Cillian Murphy, Oscar winner, will be returning for the next one, nerds.